Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Go247 podcast. I'm Glenn West, senior writer here with the site. Really nice to be doing one of these after an LSU-SEC win. Dylan and I were in the building yesterday in Tiger Stadium for LSU's really just electric come-from-behind win over Mississippi State, the first SEC win of the Brian Kelly era. Dylan, how's it going, man?
It's going great. I did not expect to be doing this after an LSU win, to be completely honest, and especially after the first half. I was like, oh, all right, well, it's going to be this, and then it wasn't. They came out with great adjustments. I think the coaches in two of the three phases looked really good. And it was, good adjustments again. It seems like this is going to be a second half team. At least that's where it's trending. I know they want to get better off the jump of games, but sometimes you can't really control that. I feel good right now.
Yeah, I mean, we'll touch on all of it, of course, but just before we get started, make sure you guys are leaving a like here on the YouTube page. Like the video, make sure you're subscribing to all where you get your podcasts from, and that just gives us a big boost and helps us out a lot. So any kind of support in that regard, we'll gladly take. But, just kind of getting into the game here a little bit, just a quick little recap. LSU gets, like Dylan said, starts slow, 13-0. They're down in this for most of the first half, by one or two scores. And then they absolutely just start pounding it on there at the end of the second quarter. LSU goes on a nice little 2-minute drive there from Jaden Daniels in the offense, and from there it was an absolute slaughter. LSU outscores Mississippi State 31-3 over the final 33 minutes and change. Just a really dominant performance on both sides of the ball, and we'll certainly touch on all of it. But I think probably just to start, defensively, I think that's kind of where we have to start with this game. We came in with a lot of questions defensively, and it all started with the secondary and how those guys would hold up. you know, just initial takeaways defensively. That is one of the top defensive performances we've seen from LSU in quite a while. I mean, that was to hold a Mississippi State team, which don't get it twisted. Mississippi State came into this game, with one of the more electric offenses in the SEC. I think it's probably going to be one of the best offenses LSU faces all season. And they held them to under 300 yards. I think they threw 45 or 46 times, and Will Rogers, had just 214 yards, through the air. And I think that is a really good signifier here of how LSU was able to defend downfield, and what it really allowed them to do was apply pressure. And I thought Matt Howell's dialed up the pressures absolutely magnificently throughout this game. You had, defensive ends and linebackers and secondary, defensive backs, all those guys were contributing, to really get after Will Rogers, to make it a little bit more of a quick decision kind of game for him. And I thought all those guys, all three levels of the defense, played and executed the game plan perfectly. It was something that Brian Kelly talked about after the game, just how proud he was of that defense and how, they really, earned that trust throughout the game. I don't think LSU goes for that fourth down, late in the game, or when I think they were down by one score at that point. It was a fourth and three or a fourth and four. And they go for it right around midfield and they don't capitalize, but the defense holds, on the next possession. And I think that just shows a lot of trust that LSU has in this defense right now. But just Dylan, what were some of your overall takeaways from this defensively? What did you think of this unit?
Jay Ward game ball looked very, very good. The young guys stepped up. It's gonna be hard to keep Harold Perkins off the field. Dude's electric. Savion Jones even had some really good flashes. That was nice to see. And again, we are not really seeing the loss of Mason Smith be as impactful as some people would have thought. Makai Wingo has done a great job of coming in and stepping up. And they even moved Allie Gay inside a little bit. They're kind of using Allie Gay as they would have used Mason Smith in both of an interior and an edge role. And that works because you're seeing some pass rushers step up that have made a little bit more of an impact than Allie Gay so far, in Harold Perkins, in Savion Jones. Even Desmond Little, whenever he has played this season, has looked pretty good. That's my main takeaway is some people stepping up, but also it's really crazy how going into fall camp, the easily the number one concern on everybody's list was the cornerbacks, and it looks like the most solid group on the team.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. I think the cornerbacks have held up really well these first 3 weeks. We always kind of, I think, pointed out even before the season how this game was going to be the test for that group, mm-hmm. that we really just didn't know what was going to happen with. I thought Mekhi Gardner was extremely physical. There was a lot of talk about whether Mekhi Gardner would be able to hold up with some of these speedier SEC receivers, but I think his physicality has mm-hmm. really shown here early in the season, and he's been really, really consistent for LSU. Same thing you can say with Jarek Bernard Converse. I thought he looked really, really good. And then the big move that they made really after the Florida State game was switching Greg Brooks and Jay Ward. They put Greg Brooks back at safety in a more veteran presence or veteran role for him. It's something he's experienced. And they moved Jay Ward back up to that nickel, corner spot, and that allows him to play closer to the line of scrimmage. Allows him to make some of those more physical plays, in that short area offense and, against the short area offense. And I thought he looked like as good as you could possibly hope, in terms of what you can get out of that position. I mean, he had 11 tackles, had the game, game sealing interception. He had a tackle for loss, just was flying all over the place. Really in the first half, he set the tone, I thought, early in the first half with his play, mm-hmm. with his physicality against Mississippi State. Just looked really, really good. And you know, you mentioned Harold Perkins. I'm right there with you. I think the way that they were able to dial up pressures with him, in particular, you know, was really, really telling in how much they want to use him moving forward. He's going to be hard to keep off the field, and I think Micah Baskerville is too. I mean, Baskerville, we kind of heard, is going to have a little bit of an expanded role this last weekend. I thought he did a really great job. You know, I think he had 8 tackles. You think he was second on the team in tackles last night. You know, really just being that veteran presence that LSU needs at that spot. And so really just a masterclass of a performance defensively, I thought, throughout the entire game.
I want to give a shout out to BJ Ojulari real quick, because he also had he was dominant all night. Even whenever something didn't get added to the stat sheet, he was pressuring Will Rogers. He dominated that offensive line.
No, absolutely. He was getting a lot of great pressure, and it was really, really consistent throughout the entire night. And I thought set the edge extremely well. You know, they had a couple of busted runs get to the outside on him, particularly early on in the game, which set up the both of their touchdowns. But they really, I thought, you know, just looking at this thing as a whole, I mean, if you can get that kind of consistency from this unit moving forward this season, you're going to be in a lot of games. Like, I just kept waiting for the dam to fall, because LSU's offense was going out, you know, and getting a lot of three and outs, a lot of 3-4 play drives in that first half. And I thought, man, this defense is just not going to be able to hold up at this rate. But every time I thought they might, you know, start to bend a little bit, they came up with a big stop. I mean, the fumble, you know, the forced fumble there in the first half, they had the key interception there at the end of the game. They came the fourth down stops. They had a couple of really great fourth down stops in this one.
I think that really woke them up too, because Mike Leach, overly analytical, was testing them within their own 30 on fourth down twice in the first 16 minutes of the game. Like, he challenged that defense, and the defense answered and stopped them. And unfortunately, the offense couldn't really capitalize for most of the game. But I mean, the defense had their imprint from the first snap. And outside of, I'd say, 2 really big plays, those 2 big runs, they were absolutely dominant.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is look at the numbers. I mean, they were, Mississippi State was 3-14 on third down, and they were 1-4 on fourth down. So LSU was able to get off the field, you know, get the offense back out, you know, for extended possessions. And I just thought, you know, defensively, that's where you have to start with this game. And I thought those guys played absolutely fantastic. But you know, I guess we can move on to the offense. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on defensively, or was that, do you think we kind of covered it all?
Yeah, I think we kind of touched on most of it. Just Matt House really pulling out his Louis Duffy and breaking down. Yeah, great game. I like what they're doing with Sage Ryan. Still trying to get him involved. He was rushing the passer a lot. Like, they have some dynamic playmakers, and I like that they are putting them in the best roles that they have to succeed and not pigeonholing anybody. Yeah. There's a lot of movement and a lot of, you know, all right, let's try. Let's see how you do in this role. And I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, I like how they're switching up the defensive calls a lot. Like, we kind of came into this game, or kind of came into these last couple games, wondering what the defensive scheme might look like without Mason Smith in it. And I think they've really thrown a bunch of wrinkles into what they were initially planning to do. And I think they've hit, you know, home runs on a lot of it. I think, you know, the Harold Perkins really kind of breaking out here in this one really gives them another athlete that they can stick on the field. Whether it's, you know, a guy you want to bring off the edge, somebody that you can bring up the middle. I mean, they were bringing him from really all angles on Saturday night against the Bulldogs. And I thought, you know, he's only going to ascend from here. Like, this was just the beginning, I think, for Harold Perkins, and he's going to be a huge part of what they do defensively. Same with Jay Ward, same with Ojulari, with Ali Gay, with Wingo. You know, we didn't mention Jacqueline Roy, but he was getting some really nice pressure up the middle as well throughout the game. Just really an all-around great performance, I think, defensively, and just really what you needed against this Bulldogs offense that came in pretty highly touted and pretty, had a lot of momentum kind of coming into this one. So
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll move on to the offensive stuff. Not much to talk about for most of the first half. I think we were all pretty, disappointed and really kind of, looking around at each other in the press box of just what this offense looked like for the first, 27, 28 minutes. And then LSU gets into the 2-minute drill and it's like the whole world opens up. I mean, they were fantastic, and I think you have to start with Jaden Daniels. LSU's quarterback was absolutely fantastic, really, from that 2-minute warning or a 2-minute kind of area on for LSU. In that second quarter on, he was fantastic. He just really controlled everything. He started it with his legs, ran for 93 yards and a touchdown. In the second half, he delivered some really great throws. Goes for over 200 yards again with another touchdown. Grit, I think that's kind of the word that comes to mind when you look at Jaden Daniels. He's not going to be fazed by much. It doesn't matter how many times he might get knocked down. He gets back up, and I thought he did some really, really nice things in the second half. What would you say, I guess, about Jaden's performance last night? Because I know you've been a big Daniels guy pretty much the entire offseason.
Yeah, I think it was still probably his worst game of the season. Had some really rough moments. He kind of looked like it was kind of looking like, again, he was regressing back to the last year version of him. Like he took a while to settle into the game. The first half was pretty bad. He still missed some throws, missed some open receivers. Again, I'm waiting on Denbrock to notice. Anytime they go to tempo, the offense looks really good. Mm-hmm. If they're moving fast, and teams show it, you can do it pretty much all game. Like Tennessee runs super fast. Like they have a super fast offense. Like LSU needs to fully incorporate the tempo and just go to it, because that's where Jaden seems to thrive. And the play calling has to reflect that. It seems like this team is not going to be one for the craziest, most developing routes. Not because the players can't run them, because the receivers are very, 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 very talented, but that's just not, it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to develop that with this super young offensive line. They just don't have the time. And that was the thing with this game, is even whenever they did have the time, Jaden wasn't getting the ball off in time. So it looks like it's going to have to be a little bit more tempo based, because that's whenever they're in their bag. And it was good to see Jaden develop a rhythm with Malik Nabers and get him into the offense just as much. Kayshon did have 8 targets, only 3 catches on the day, but it's seeming like Nabers is benefiting heavily from the defense's heavily focusing in on Kayshon.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll touch on a few of those things that you mentioned there. I thought, Jaden really came out and was missing a lot of throws. Like, there's a difference, I think, between playing up-tempo. Like, I thought LSU was playing pretty fast early in the game. That was something that I think was pretty evident. They were getting to their next play pretty quickly. But there's a difference between playing up-tempo and making quick reads and quick decisions. And I think the fact what you saw early in that game was Daniels and the offense moving fast but not processing fast and not maybe getting – to their quick reads early enough. And he missed a couple throws. He missed a couple guys that were wide open in that first half. I mean, there was one play that I looked at you and I said, man, Mason Taylor had pretty much just an open field. If Daniels had seen him in that first half, there was one play there where Mason Taylor had just a wide open field in front of him. Mm-hmm. And it just missed him. He wasn't looking that way. And, you know, I think kind of that's the biggest thing that we need to see grow from Jaden, I think, throughout this year. It's just his processing downfield has got to be a little bit quicker. But when they got into that kind of more up-tempo, quick decision-making in the second half, he was flawless. Like, he was hitting his guys, and they were getting the playmakers the ball early in the plays, and they were letting them go make them. They were letting them go make the plays after the catch, and I thought that was just a really, you know, smart move. I mean, they had to make those adjustments there. They saw what was happening in the first half. They weren't getting much consistency, you know, just kind of, you know, getting the ball downfield, and they had to go to that quick decision-making processes. And I thought that they did a really nice job in the second half. Daniels was much more comfortable in that kind of offensive rhythm. And they really feasted on Mississippi State for much of that second half. And you mentioned Malik Nabers. I mean, that was the Nabers that we saw all fall camp. I mean, like, he was absolutely their most consistent receiver throughout the fall camp. And I thought that connection that they showed there in the fourth quarter in particular was really, really important for moving forward with this offense, because you're right, they are keying in on Kayshon. Like, teams are going after him and making it very difficult for him to get, you know, his normal, you know, routine workload. I mean, you mentioned the 8 targets. LSU's going after him. It's not like they're not looking for him, but they are. I think the fact that you can now have another receiver that you can rely on, you know, Nabers had 7 targets and he caught 6 of those balls. So if you have another receiver that you can rely on outside of Booty, I should say, still that's a mental block in my mind that I got to get through. But if you can have another receiver like that, then I think it can take some pressure off Kayshon and you can get him more involved if you have another reliable receiver like Nabers on the other side catching 6 of his 7 targets.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Yeah, and overall, I would say that the running game still not the greatest, but I did like the flashes that I saw from John Emery, and given time to mesh into the offense, seeing as though he hasn't played in like 600 days, I think that I liked the glimpses that we saw of the old John Emery. So give him a couple games, and I think that he'll be able to start making some plays and a real confidence building run by Armani Goodwin there at the end of the game. Cause he really looked really good. And I like what I see from Josh Williams. He's not your like flashy back, but he does the pass protection. He can catch the ball. He had 4 receptions, I think, today. They went to him in pretty clutch spots for a former walk-on. So that just kind of shows you how they feel about him. And Noah Kane, I don't know what happened. He just was not used at all this game.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. I mean, I think that's probably going to be one of the first questions for Kelly on Monday, is what, you know, what kind of went into the touches. You know, I kind of went in thinking that you – probably want to get John Emery anywhere between 5 and 10 touches, and just looking, you know, a lot at the red zone. I thought that was going to be kind of the move. But they went to him a lot. I mean, he had 13 touches in this game. You know, they really tried to get him involved early in the first half. It just didn't really work out all that much, but as they kind of settled into their rhythm offensively in the second half, they were able to get him involved. And I thought he did a nice job.
I did go back and rewatch most of the broadcast, and it was an interesting point that I do want to bring up, that they mentioned how he wanted to get hit, And he felt nervous. He wanted to get hit. He wanted to bring himself back into it. And he certainly did. He got laid out on that one play. That it was kind of confusing of who was going to get the ball. I don't know. I really still don't know who it was meant for.
I think there was a little bit of a mix up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mix up there. It ended up being an okay play, but yeah, he got laid out. So, welcome back to SEC play, John Emery. He definitely feels that one this morning.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be super interested to see how they work Noah Cain back. Cause I thought Noah Cain was going to be kind of the sneaky, really interesting transfer player that really nobody was talking about. And yeah, then he doesn't play at all last night. I was pretty surprised by that. But I thought, look, Goodwin came out, and like you said, he had a nice run there to cap off the night. You scrap out that 47-yard run. He had 8 carries for I think 28 yards, which is about a little under 4 yards a carry. But they've got to get the run game going. They can't just be relying, because so much of the game they were relying on Daniels and hoping that Daniels would be kind of the full offense, and they were able to find some stuff there down the stretch with Goodwin. And I thought Emery had some nice plays in the second half as well. But definitely want to see some more consistency out of the run game moving forward. But that honestly, it brings me to my final point here offensively. And man, if you walked away from that game and you weren't impressed by the offensive line, I don't really know what to tell you. I mean, like, yes, they had the penalties. They had a bunch of false starts in the first half. That comes with the natural attrition, I think, of the matchups and also the new line that they threw out there in week 3. But I thought Emory Jones and Will Campbell were fantastic at left and right tackle. You had Frazier at guard. You had Dellinger at guard. Those were 2 sophomores. So 4 of your 5 starters were either sophomores or true freshmen. And I thought they held up extremely well. Cody Worsham's the kind of data guy for LSU. He kind of pulls up a bunch of really cool stats from Pro Football Focus and whatnot. And he, tweeted out this morning that essentially Emory Jones and Will Campbell were the 4th and 1st rated tackles out of the SEC this past weekend in terms of grading. They allowed, I think there was one play where Jones got beat on the right side in the first half. But outside of that, they were pretty flawless in their protection. And I think that really helped the offense as it moved along in this game. And, we asked Kelly about it afterwards, but, he was very encouraged, very impressed by what the true freshman showed at tackle. I think he was very impressed by the guard play as well. The penalties are just something they're going to have to clean up. But I came away very encouraged by that offensive line. What about you?
Yeah, it's funny how you mentioned the true freshman and the sophomores, and Charles Turner is the one who made the most mistakes. That's going to be he looks fine snapping the ball, but I don't think that was ever the issue with him, because if he was snapping the ball, you would assume that they don't need to make a player learn the position, but they still felt the need to try and get Dellinger in that role. But Charles Turner, it seems like a cadence issue. Obviously because the whole offensive line false start, 3 more false starts, I think, on him, 2 or 3 more. Yeah, it was not the prettiest game from a center standpoint, but I think it's a fixable issue. And right now, I think that this is year 5. Like, they definitely looks more solid. Want to see some more holes open up in the run game. But protection-wise, they looked really good in pass protection against being so young and going up against a team where 21 of the 22 players on the defensive 2 deep were juniors, seniors, or 5th-year players.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I thought, the O-line looked really, really fantastic, especially on the tackles on the edge there. They gave Daniels a lot of time to throw the ball. It just in the first half wasn't exactly clicking the way they were hoping. And so you didn't really get to see the benefits of their great pass protection in the second half because they were making so many quick decisions. But I thought they kept, Mississippi State on their toes really throughout that entire second half, and what led to such a a really dominant performance there in the final 30 minutes. So, I think we probably, we're going to touch on a little bit, of the New Mexico game next week, but just another few quick thoughts. You know, LSU won the time of possession. That was another thing that we kind of were a little bit, on the fence about heading into this game in terms of LSU wanting to control the clock and be a little bit more, decisive with their drives. They had some nice, really long drives there in the second half that I think really helped them. I thought we didn't get a chance to mention, but Jerae Jenkins, I thought his touchdown there in the first half really set the tone for the second half. That was a really great catch, and just kind of yards after the catch run, kind of bulldozing through, a couple defenders there. Really, really great play from him. And look, I think, there's a lot that you can take away from this game offensively that LSU can use, in the next couple weeks. And I just want to, I think the biggest thing we want to see is just continued efficiency in the run game. And then you want to see, Daniels, I think, continue to make some of those downfield reads a little bit quicker. And LSU's offense, I think, is going to be in really, really tip-top shape.
Yep. I'm very encouraged by this game. I still feel good about my 7-5 prediction. But it's definitely looking like a team that could steal one of those bigger games, maybe yes. Push 8-4.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I think a large part of that is going to be the defense. And if they can stay consistent, I think the defense will be able to keep you in a lot of games. I think they showed that last night. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be very interested to see how they respond over the next couple weeks here.
Yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels definitely doesn't look like the worst quarterback in the West, which is good to say. I think he was the better quarterback last night. And there were Heisman talks about Will Rogers coming into the game. Like, he got shut down, and his Will Rogers' wide receivers didn't help him out a ton, but and then you look over and Anthony Richardson, who had all this hype, has my favorite stat of the year, has three more tackles than he does touchdown passes, which is just a crazy stat.
That's pretty funny. I didn't even realize that. I didn't see that one out there, but look, LSU, they dipped into the portal for a reason. They got these guys for a reason, and it's nice to see that they're having some success, with some of their portal hits, and that obviously starts with your starting quarterback. So, I guess we'll move on here. We'll touch on New Mexico for a little bit. Just really quick glance at this team. They're 2-1, but this is going to be a run heavy team. They've run it 128 times over their first three games. They passed it, I think, 64 times over their first three games. And they disperse, a lot of their carries here. They have a bunch of guys that are getting involved in the run game. They have a couple guys that are over 20 carry range, but a lot of guys that are also in that, 10, 12, 13 range as well. So I think LSU is going to have to be on their toes in stopping the run game here. This is going to be a win where LSU's, going to be favored by a lot. This is going to be a game LSU's favored by a lot. You should be able to handle your business in Tiger Stadium before you get back into SEC play. New Mexico is coming off a win over UTEP. They lost to Boise State in week two, and they've also got a big win over Maine to start their season. So, I think LSU is going to probably be at least a double-digit favorite, probably 14 to 20 points, somewhere in that range, I would imagine. This is going to be a game that you have to, I think just be disciplined at, it's going to be a lot like that Southern game. You want to come out and you want to start fast. You want to be able to show some of the improvements that you've made, offensively on the offensive line. You want to see that group dominate. You want to see LSU certainly get the ball to Kayshon Booty a little bit more, get him involved, get him back on track. You want to see obviously continued success for the run game, and just a really complete performance, I think, is something you really want to see out of this group. Are there any early thoughts? I know I kind of sprung it on you before we got on here, but are there any early thoughts you have on LSU and New Mexico, and just kind of what you want to see out of the game next week?
Yeah, I think that honestly this game should look pretty much like the Southern game did. You'll see Garrett Nussmeier maybe get another shot at some point because, yeah, I mean, last year, New Mexico averaged 12 points a game. They finished 130th in yards per game. I think they had just over 200 yards per game of offense. Like, it's a completely overhauled offense, I think. They brought a new offensive coordinator. I saw they had 6 returning players. So it's just, again, kind of another team that's finding its own footing. But, yeah, heavy, heavy run attack. So I think that this should be an LSU doesn't have an excuse to have this one be any close at all.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I think you – if there are a couple of guys that are banged up, you know, got banged up throughout this game, I'll be very interested. Like, for example, Jay Ward kind of hobbled off the field there at the end of that, you know, interception in the fourth quarter. You know, he's told us he was fine after the game. But, you know, if you want to be extra, extra cautious, you know, I think there's a couple of guys that you could probably sit in this game and still feel really comfortable about, you know, walking away with a pretty comfortable win over New Mexico. So I'll be interested to see if there's anything like that that pops up throughout the week. We'll certainly get a chance to talk to Brian Kelly on Monday. But other than that, I think we've pretty much touched on it all. You know, there were a couple, you know, big SEC games last night, but, you know, nothing too earth shattering, nothing that I think kind of blew us away. You know, I think, you know, was it Georgia beat the, you know what, out of South Carolina last night? Was that Georgia that won South Carolina?
Georgia looks like the team. And I think they're outscoring opponents like 130-10 through 3 games. So, it's looking like a little questionable there. They seem like the team. Alabama had a bounce back win against Terry Bowden.
Arkansas. How about Arkansas getting a scare from Bobby Petrino last night?
Arkansas definitely was on the ropes. Not what we expected. And Florida barely escaping South Florida. Like, I don't know. The
A&M knocked off Penn State. You know, that was a pretty tight game for a while. A&M's offense still looks pretty anemic.
A&M knocked off Miami. Penn State destroyed Auburn. Auburn looks bad. Auburn just looks flat out hashtag bad. And so I think that game has turned into what was a questionable one. I think LSU should be looking to run away with that one if all things come together, because they just look any problems LSU has had, they have been amplified for Auburn so far.
Yep. It's been a pretty crazy start to this college football season for sure. But I think LSU's, you know, they're definitely not the worst. They're definitely, I think, firmly in the middle of the pack right now. I think they have an opportunity here in the next couple of weeks to really assert themselves. If they can get through New Mexico, get through Auburn, you're looking at a 4-1 team that's heading into that Tennessee game, which is going to be really, really electric. So I'm going to be very interested to see how this team responds. I know Dylan will as well. We'll be back with you guys at the end of the week to get a more thorough look at New Mexico and also talk about what's going on throughout the week, you know, at the LSU practice facility, talking with players and with Coach Kelly. As always, remember to like, subscribe everywhere for YouTube, podcast, Apple, Spotify, do all that stuff. It really helps us out. So with that, you know, we'll certainly – get back to it really soon. And with that, I'm Glenn West. He's Dylan Sanders, and we'll see you guys next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.